Lake Wissota. Once again, here's Pat Greatlow.
Joined by Kristen Lyerly and Kirk Bangsted for our final segment together on this Wednesday. And then Kirk is running away for a couple of weeks. But Kristen, hopefully you can join me on Wednesdays. And then we'll get the whole gang back together closer to Labor Day.
I love being with you, Pat. Anytime.
This is almost sounding like our little segue while we were down a commercial break, which got a little X-rated.
I'm just glad to have finally woken you guys up because, again, I'm normally dealing with you on Wednesday nights, and you guys came in here like the first cup of coffee you needed to be dunked in rather than drinking it.
Glad I could find something that would
get you going here. So now that we've had a chance to warm up, to visit with people and talk a bit, Kristen, I have to ask you, as an OBGYN, as somebody involved in politics, were you as surprised as pretty much everybody else was by the overwhelming vote by Kansas voters last night to protect abortion rights?
Yeah, I sure was. Leading up to it, the buzz amongst my national OBGYN colleagues has been, this is a big deal. We don't know which way this is going to go. So to see numbers like that in a state like Kansas, which has a constitutional protection for abortion, and they do have a Democratic governor. So I think there are some really positive things happening in individual states. I know I'm real plugged in with the upper Midwest, including the Dakotas and Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, here in Wisconsin, of course. And there's so much variability about what's happening with regards to women's health care. Lots of different nuances. So in South Dakota, some of the legislators are asking about how they can legislate in exceptions for rape and incest. Here in Wisconsin, that's not the case. Tim Michaels actually came out and said no abortions for any reason. And that's kind of the standard Wisconsin Republican candidate for governor response. So it's different in every state, but to see something like this come out of Kansas, I think was incredibly heartening for those of us who care for women.
So I have a question for both you guys. Do you, given the results of the Kansas, the Kansas results, do you think that Republicans just aren't polling, or they're just way off of the actual the pulse of the even Republican voters in Wisconsin when it comes to abortion and choice? I feel like they are. They're not even allowing like cases has to get past basic care emergencies to get past. I think they're way off, but why are they persistent in being as hardcore as possible?
Because it has worked for them in the past, and it really does. There is a direct line leading to this authoritarian tendency to throw out democracy, to overrule elections, to get rid of the state elections board. What they did first was through gerrymandering, where they were able to take control of legislatures. By allowing unlimited money to come into races, they took control of state Supreme Courts. They now have unlimited corporate money to pull into governors' races and Senate races. It served them well to this point where, even though things are against the mainstream, they've been able to ram certain things through. This may finally be a bridge too far when you see what the voters have said in Kansas, because voters everywhere in this country, voters are, the majority supports abortion rights. And so the party doesn't care. Again, this was a party that, you know, put forward Donald Trump of all people, and it worked, you know, by winning the Electoral College, not the popular vote. So yeah, again, public opinion, you know, be damned is what I think is behind it. We've got a couple of other races that I want to get to. Kirk, up in your neck of the woods, we know that Tom Tiffany actually is facing a Republican challenger in a Republican primary on Tuesday, somebody you know, and is putting himself out there as an alternative for Republican voters.
Yeah, Ty Cornelius, he's a friend of mine, and I helped him figure out how to run for this primary. We were hoping that we would get a different outcome with the our lawsuit against Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, and Scott Fitzgerald, and that if we would, you know, got some legs on that lawsuit, and they would have been taken off of the ballot. I wanted to have a Republican running for office, that because it is a very gerrymandered district up in the 7th district. And so I don't think a Democrat can necessarily win that race, even, you know, at all. So I wanted to have a Republican who I thought was moderate and I thought was a well-meaning person on the ballot in as a Republican. And Ty agreed that he wanted somebody to do that too. So he's running. I don't, you know, it's probably not likely. There's not been a lot of money. I've not been able to, you know, to donate as much. We can't really, the super PAC can't really deal directly with candidacies, so I can't really help with the money thing. So it's probably not looking great for Ty, but you know, but at least he's stuck his neck out there, and he's trying to do the right thing.
You put yourself out there. That's what all this is. And in any of us who have run, you ran in a heavily Republican district for assembly in 2020 as well. And again, without that, without somebody at least willing to provide an alternative, people will stay home, and that doesn't serve any of us well in the Midwest. And so, speaking of the Midwest, I wanted to wrap up with what we mentioned earlier is whether walleye is the most Midwestern thing ever. It is based on descriptions on Airbnbs in Midwestern states. So apparently, much like the bucolic scene behind Kirk Bankstead of Lake Minocqua, people like to hear that there's walleye fishing nearby where you live. Does that make sense, that walleye is the most Midwestern thing that exists?
I sure hope it's not, because not because I don't like walleye, but like climate change is causing our walleye populations to take a serious nosedive, and we're stocking lakes right now, but we've got so few resources here in Wisconsin that the DNR is having to make decisions about which lakes to stock now. So if people are looking at walleye as a marker for the health of tourism and like a symbol of what Wisconsin is, I think that we are in store for a lot of disappointment.
All I gotta say is, I think Boulder Junction is gonna be really mad that the entire Midwest will take away their claim to fame. They're like called the walleye capital of the world, or at least they're self-described the walleye capital of the world, and they're like 10 minutes north of me. So I'm not sure if they're gonna be too happy if they get usurped by the entire Midwest, Pat.
And speaking of Midwestern things, I was looking through some of the newspapers, and up in Ashland, they have people very upset about all the goose poop that they have to deal with. And I think that's endemic to the Midwest. We go upriver to the Mallard here, and you know, at certain times of year, there's no place to be without having to deal with what those kind little geese have left behind, Kirk.
They're so mean.
And they're mean too.
My next door neighbor had a What's it called? The little one person, like a jet ski. He hated goose poop on his lawn so much that he would drive this jet ski right into a flock of geese just to scare the crap out of them, so they'd leave his front yard alone.
Okay, well, maybe extra legal advice notwithstanding, that's the latest from Kirk Bankstead entirely. We'll talk to you both again soon. Thanks for joining me in the morning here, guys.
Thanks, Pat. Great to be here.
Yeah, Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow. Have a great day. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you are up north.